It's time for Viewmaster on 95BFM.
Hey Sam, how you going?
Hey, how you doing?
You were loving that, eh?
Yeah, that was
Put
the
your
best.
Shirt back on, man, if you're gonna...
Sorry, I just got too excited.
Yeah, I know.
Just in tears, you know?
Yeah.
So, talking Netflix today.
Yeah! Netflix really coming into its own!
Yeah, finally, all these years.
Owning the whole world! Yeah.
Yeah. Santa Clarita Diet Season 2 just came out.
Sorry, what?
Santa Clarita Diet. I know.
Santa Clarita Diet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Have you heard about the show at all?
Not even once.
Okay, so basically it stars Drew Barrymore. Everyone loves her. You know, Drew Barrymore back in our day.
Of course.
And she plays a zombie and how her family has to deal with her own zombie transformation. And it's in its season two now. So it's a zombie
that still lives with her family.
Yeah. So she's like still a person, but like she likes to eat people. Her body parts are falling off. Oh. You know, comic hilarity. But I hate it. I literally sat through eight episodes yesterday trying to like get into it and like it. And I just couldn't get behind it. It's like... It combines the two disparate elements of like a gory, campy show with like trying to be a wholesome family drama at the same time. And it's very sitcom-y and just like...
I have to ask, Sam, what on earth made you really think that this might be good?
Well, I get all of my TV from friends recommending it. So
sure.
One of my friends was like, it's so funny, you've got to watch it.
I guess friends now.
Yeah,
you know,
well...
You have to start asking
Locked
that,
on Facebook.
And
Drew Barrymore, you know, I love Charlie's Angels. I was like, surely give it a watch just for my girl Drew.
She can bust out a good role now and then.
Yeah, she's great. She's really good in it, but it's just like poor material and like just not. You just don't want to get behind it. You don't believe it. The only good character is their daughter, who's like a 16-year-old angsty teen.
So who's she the mother? Or?
Yeah. So Drew Barrymore's a mum. She's married to
a busy zombie mum.
Yeah, but realtor.
Isn't there enough for mums to do as it is?
Well, the whole point of it is it's meant to be like white suburbia is so draining and boring. Yeah. I want to go kill people now. But it's just like such a heavy-handed metaphor that no one is going to be like, oh, this is so smart. It's just like, oh, okay.
Are you like me, Sam? Do you hate... I think zombies are the dumbest monsters in the whole range. It's so dumb, make no sense. Boring, sick to death of them. Just shut up. You never go, here comes a zombie. What should we do? Like, unless you're talking 28 days.
Yeah, zombies, it's like a
where they move zombie. Where they move lightning fast.
Yeah.
They're terrifying. But I mean, I'll drag the leg. Brains. Just sit down.
Well, these zombies aren't even
throw
zombies.
Throw a rock
zombies.
At them and move on, you know? It's like being chased by a sloth.
Well, they're just being chased by quite boring white people. Like they're just that's all the zombies are in the show. Just like.
And what do you do once you do just gorge yourself on brains and then is it blood or is it what is it? You know.
She eats everything. Oh. She goes hard.
Massive zombie guts.
Yeah, all about it. And like Season 2, I was like, okay, maybe they'll go back into their own. Maybe they'll get into it.
Oh, did you press into Season 2? Because you thought maybe that's where the story would really happen.
That's where it gets gritty.
I reckon that's a Netflix algorithm trick.
Well, sometimes, yeah. And like, and obviously Netflix, like if it's original, it just pops up all the time. So it's just on my feed constantly. I was like, fuck, I'll just watch it. I'll just give it a go. I'll just try it.
I'll just succumb.
And like, so they just chose all these weird plot elements that haven't got anything to do with anything. And they just kind of, it's gotten like too deep into its own mythology now. I'm just like, I didn't like it.
Did you watch True Blood?
No, I didn't.
See, I True Blood, and I started watching that because I kind of thought it was really cool when it started out, and I thought it was a bit weird and unexpected, some unexpected twists and turns, and it got, like say, deep into its own mythology, but it sucked me in for about six seasons.
Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah, and I look back on it fondly, but at the same time, stop it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and okay, there's so many, I mean, that's five seasons of something else I could have watched.
Well, like, right. See, I don't mind the gory, campy...
Poor Mike, he just got on five seasons of TV.
I love the gory, campy stuff. Like, I love the grindhouse kind of film. Like, there's this TV show, Blood Drive, that came out that was just a full-on gore fest, and it was all campy and dumb, but, like, actually lent into the campiness and dumbness. Like, it didn't try to be a family drama with, like, people's limbs hanging about, you know? Like,
yeah.
You just can't combine the two elements and have it work. Like, you can't do Friends with zombies, you know?
You can't, and you can't have someone who's in a family, a zombie in a family relationship. I think we're all clear on that, aren't we?
Well, I mean...
Zombies are all for one or all for themselves. It's like, you know...
Well, they're trying to, like, do that struggle and, like, the moral struggle of who can I kill and have
it's
it be
a zombie!
Okay.
They just... Oh! There's no discretion.
Well, no, she's a good... Like, she's got her brain all about her and stuff, but, like...
She's a zombie!
She's still a zombie, yeah. And like the gore in it is pretty hardcore. Like there's like eyelids like hanging off stuff. Like it's not like off screen gore. It's like very blatantly like
off screen gore. You know what? Look how gory that is over there.
Well, that's the trick, isn't it? Yeah, like when they don't want to pay for all the fake blood, they're just like, oh, it's over in that room. But yeah, so I don't know. I tried it. I really wish it was good because I love Netflix. Like, I think they do some really good TV shows.
Same.
And they just missed the mark with this one again for the second season. So hopefully, no season three.
I'm gonna give some big ups to a documentary that Sarah put me onto. Actually, thanks, Sarah. Called Wild Wild Country, which is a Netflix doco, There's two absolutely essential documentaries you've got to watch on Netflix. Essential that everybody listening to this radio show watches the Defiant ones.
Oh, yeah?
Which is the story of a guy called Jimmy Iovine and Dr. Dre.
Cool.
And it's just, that sounds cool. It is 1,000 times cooler than you can even imagine. It's an amazing story and amazingly told, a really well-made documentary. Everybody that loves music should watch that documentary. Everybody that loves modern culture should watch that documentary. It's amazing.
So like every listener right now.
Just everyone. And tell two friends as well.
Tell two friends and your mum.
And Wild Wild Country, which is I never explained this one well enough to make people want to watch it. Sarah, can you come and just do a quick little Wild Wild Country encapsulation the way you sold it to me?
How did I sell it to you?
It's better than I'm going to sell it, so. Here she comes. No pressure.
Wild Wild Country, it's a multi-part documentary about a cult that began in India and then moved to Sleepy Oregon.
To a town of 50 people, and 50,000 people moved to a town of 50 people overnight.
To a town called Antelope, and you think it's just going to be a story about small town America not being able to deal with people who live their lives differently, but then it just gets
It's the documentary
weirder
that keeps on going.
And weirder and weirder. And you'll literally be sitting there gobsmacked because not only is it cooked as hell, it's real. It happened.
Yep. Have you seen the Defiant ones? You've seen that, haven't you? Haven't you? Oh, yeah. Goodness, mate. That's next on your list. Thank you. So yeah. So there's a couple of Netflix originals that are boomers actually.
Yeah. Well, see, I rate everything they do. Like, I think they actually make some really good TV. But you know, if it's on a doco at the moment, it's kind of.
So what's next on your list?
Next
apart from those two,
probably Atlanta, Legion on FX, the new X-Men spin-off TV show, because I'm a big comic book nerd.
Yeah.
And that is actually a really, really good weird show if anyone wants to watch it. Legion.
Yeah. I've started watching that. I need to sort of get up to speed on that again though.
Season one's cool. And it's just so weird and you just don't understand what's going on. And Aubrey Plaza is the best in that film, in that TV show. So watch that. There's so much coming out at the moment. I don't know. Legion is the next one. That's like, go home right now and watch it because it's just got the first episode of season 2 come out. So,
all right, so flag the other one, which was
Santa Clarita Diet.
Santa Clarita Diet. Yeah. Okay. See you later. Thank you very much.
It'll be
Netflix.
Trending.
No,
just
thanks.
Don't click it. Just leave it alone.
Just because it's trending doesn't mean it's trending with you. I know.
It didn't trend in my heart.
Trending. When's that word gonna die? Hashtag trending should die and hashtags.
Like 2020 when Kanye's president.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's when it'll die. 2020.
When right. Kanye West is president.
Oh, was that some sort of time traveler? Cheers, all the best. Cheers.
That was Viewmaster on 95BFM.
I like it.
I tell you what, there's a complaint here about that Night Ranger. Yeah, I know. Calm down. Jeez.
Stop. Record Store Day at Southbound Records. Over 300 exclusive Record Store Day releases, special discounts and free gifts, absolutely phenomenal free baking and coffee till midday. DJ sets from Mikey Havoc, Tina Turntables, Matthew Crawley, Dubhead and Stinky Jim. Plus, BFM will be broadcasting live in store from 8 to 11am. Get those fingers good and dusty. Record Store Day at Southbound Records, April 21st, 132 Simon Street. Doors open at 9am.
Hey Amelia, have you tried those new Impala Pinots? They're real hot.
Hot like a sexually attractive person?
No.
Hot like a hot take controversial opinion?
What?
Hot like a signal with too much gain?
Too niche. We wrecked it.
Burger Fuel's new Impala Pinots are here to set your world on fire. With a crispy, crunchy coated body kit, each taste-defying jalapeno is filled with cream cheese so good your eyes will water. And all served with a super hot chipotle aioli. Burger Fuel's new Impala Pinots. Here for a hot time, not a long time.
Shit and get up, Pearl. Your alarm's been going since 6.
It's not an alarm. It's electronic dance music.
Turn it off!
Join the dance. Do a box step.
No!
There's kombucha.
Alright then.
Morning people, the morning rave. Every Wednesday at Whammy Bar, 6:30 to 8am. Free coffee, kombucha, juice and fruit, and some of New Zealand's best DJs. This week, Yokozuna Live. Morning people, Wednesday mornings at Whammy. Party first, work later. The voice that launched 1,000 Googles.
Female voice, tin soldier, small faces.
Definitive first cut is the deepest.
Primal scream, singer, understanding.
Pepe Arnold is all of that and so much more. And now the cult 60s Brit soul legend is coming to New Zealand. If you want to win yourself tickets, and you do, then stay tuned to 95BFM all this week. 95BFM presents Pepe Arnold with backing from members of UMI, Sunday, May 20th at the Power Station. Tickets from davidroywilliams.com and AAA Ticketing.
Chemical Brothers, and you're listening to Mike Havoc on The Breakfast Show on BFM.
relations between two people of the opposite sex are natural, and between two people of the same sex, unnatural. In fact, though, Mother Nature does not mind if men are sexually attracted to one another. It's only human mothers and fathers, steeped in particular cultures, who make a scene if their son has a fling with the boy next door. The mother's tantrums are not a biological imperative. A significant number of human cultures have viewed homosexual relations as not only legitimate, but even socially constructive, ancient Greece being the most notable example. The Iliad does not mention that Thetis had any objection to her son Achilles' relations with Patroclus. Queen Olympias of Macedon was one of the most temperamental and forceful women of the ancient world, and even had her own husband, King Philip, assassinated. Yet she didn't have a fit when her son, Alexander the Great, brought his lover Hephaestion home for dinner. How can we distinguish what is biologically determined from what people merely try to justify through biological myths? A good rule of thumb is, biology enables, culture forbids. Biology is willing to tolerate a very wide spectrum of possibilities. It's culture that obliges people to realize some possibilities while forbidding others. Biology enables women to have children. Some cultures oblige women to realize this possibility. Biology enables men to enjoy sex with one another. Some cultures forbid them to realize this possibility. Culture tends to argue that it forbids only that which is unnatural. But from a biological perspective, nothing is unnatural. Whatever is possible is, by definition, also natural. A truly unnatural behavior, one that goes against the laws of nature, simply cannot exist, so it would need no prohibition. No culture has ever bothered to forbid men to photosynthesize, women to run faster than the speed of light, or negatively charged electrons to be attracted to each other. In truth, our concepts, natural and unnatural, are taken not from biology, but from Christian theology. The theological meaning of natural is in accordance with the intentions of the God who created nature. Christian theologians argued that God created the human body, intending each limb and organ to serve a particular purpose. If we use our limbs and organs for the purpose envisioned by God, then it is a natural activity. To use them differently than God intends is unnatural. But evolution has no purpose. Organs have not evolved with a purpose, and the way they are used is in constant flux. There is not a single organ in the human body that only does the job its prototype did when it first appeared hundreds of millions of years ago. Organs evolve to perform a particular function, but once they exist, they can be adapted for other usages as well. Mouths, for example, appeared because the earliest multicellular organisms needed a way to take nutrients into their bodies. We still use our mouths for that purpose, but we also use them to kiss, speak, and, if we are Rambo, to pull the pins out of hand grenades. Are any of these uses unnatural, simply because our worm-like ancestors 600 million years ago didn't do those things with their mouths? Similarly, wings didn't suddenly appear in all their aerodynamic glory. They developed from organs that served another purpose. According to one theory, insect wings evolved millions of years ago from body protrusions on flightless bugs. Bugs with bumps had a larger surface area than those without bumps, and this enabled them to absorb more sunlight and thus stay warmer. In a slow evolutionary process, these solar heaters grew larger. The same structure that was good for maximum sunlight absorption, lots of surface area, little weight, also, by coincidence, gave the insects a bit of a lift when they skipped and jumped. Those with bigger protrusions could skip and jump farther. Some insects started using the things to glide, and from there it was a small step to wings that could actually propel the bug through the air. Next time a mosquito buzzes in your ear, accuse her of unnatural behavior. If she were well-behaved and content with what God gave her, she'd use her wings only as solar panels. The same sort of multitasking applies to our sexual organs and behavior. Sex first evolved for procreation and courtship rituals as a way of sizing up the fitness of a potential mate. But many animals now put both to use for a multitude of social purposes that have little to do with creating little copies of themselves. Chimpanzees, for example, use sex to cement political alliances, establish intimacy, and defuse tensions. Is that unnatural? Sex and gender. There is little sense, then, in arguing that the natural function of women is to give birth or that homosexuality is unnatural. Most of the laws, norms, rights, and obligations that define manhood and womanhood reflect human imagination more than biological reality. Biologically, humans are divided into males and females. A male Homo sapiens is one who has one X chromosome and one Y chromosome. A female is one with two X's. But man and woman name social, not biological, categories. While in the great majority of cases, in most human societies, men are males and women are females, the social terms carry a lot of baggage that has only a tenuous, if any, relationship to the biological terms. A man is not a sapiens with particular biological qualities, such as XY chromosomes, testicles, and lots of testosterone. Rather, he fits into a particular slot in his society's imagined human order. His culture's myths assign him particular masculine roles, like engaging in politics, rights, like voting, and duties, like military service. Likewise, a woman is not a sapiens with two X chromosomes, a womb, and plenty of estrogen. Rather, she is a female member of an imagined human order. The myths of her society assign her unique feminine roles, raising children, rights, protection against violence, and duties, obedience to her husband. Since myths, rather than biology, define the roles, rights, and duties of men and women, the meaning of manhood and womanhood have varied immensely from one society to another.
Beep, beep, beep.
It's time for the news roundup.
Rounding on up the news. Hi, Lillian. Good morning. To you.
Good morning. How are we?
Good, thanks. Hi, gang.
It's getting a bit colder, isn't it?
Yep, a little bit.
A bit rainy this morning?
Yeah, you know, that's all because of the distance from the sun.
What?
And our position on the globe in relation to that distance from the sun.
Someone said that to me yesterday. I was complaining about, you know, how it's getting colder in winter and stuff. And they're like, yeah, did you know that the Earth moves around away from the sun?
What's going on? Did you go?
I was like,
No way!
I know this.
No way. Just sits there and just bakes like a potato. Oh, may as well do, what with all the heavy solars in the air. You know, so let's get back on to what's happening with the news.
The first point was about the weather, actually. Oh, okay. So it was a good start. I just wanted to mention that there's been 4,500 lightning strikes that hit Taranaki in the last hour.
It's not a contest, but yeah, congratulations, Taranaki. That'd be cool to see.
There's also been
There's
been a tornado in Opunake, and snow's been falling to 400 metres in the main passes of the South Island.
Oh, this is weather manipulation.
And Fiji is now preparing for a cyclone.
Again.
Category 3 cyclone.
Category 3 is pretty grunty.
Thanks, Connor. You're mansplaining.
I just want to try help.
You mean explaining it because, yeah. Anyway, so Category 3 for Fiji, Taranaki's. Are we on the brink of some chaos here as well? We are, aren't we, apparently?
Yeah.
Well, I bought an umbrella.
Well done.
Apart from one of the prongs is broken in it, so it's a bit like a crippled umbrella. But it's all right. It still works.
Works?
Yeah. Okay, so what do you
go? Next point, Jonathan Coleman is saying that...
Jonathan Coleman, let's just percolate on that for a second.
He's saying there are documents that show he didn't know about Middlemore.
I believe him, and I would like to put the security and health of my loved ones in his care.
What does it mean there's documents that show he didn't know?
So he's saying that there's proof that there is...
There's proof
that he didn't know. It's really, really bad, but don't anybody tell the minister.